HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast. This is Tech for Change.
All systems stand by to transmit now.
Hey, this is Kay, and that's how I introduce myself on my morning show at 94.3 Radio 1, which I host and produce. Welcome to my podcast. This is Tech for Change. Very often, technology is used for good things and sometimes for bad things as well. So much so that flux between the two causes people to lose faith in technology. This podcast is aimed at changing all of that. I'm going to introduce you to some wonderful people, companies, and industries who are using technology for social good, social change, and a positive impact. All of this, of course, to make this world a better place using technology. Tune in every week on hdsmartcast.com and listen to the podcast. HD Smartcast is India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Let's get straight to this week's episode.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the show. It's one of my favorite parts of the show where we focus on technology and technology that's being used for some form of social good. How in the world do you maneuver this massive startup wave if you're looking to fundraise and whatnot? Now, I'm excited because today on the show, we have the co-founders of a wonderful little startup. Salt has basically launched a new product that integrates banking with compliances and documentation. Now, I know that sounds like a mouthful, so we'll break it down a little bit easier for you in just a bit. But if you're a person looking to raise funding for your startup and whatnot, I have two co-founders that run Salt with me on the show this morning, Udita and Ankita with me. Guys, firstly, thank you so much for being on the show. It's awesome to see you both and thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for having us on the show.
Yeah, we are nervous and excited.
Why are you nervous? I mean, you guys have already processed a whopping 10 million worth of transactions in Q1 of 2022. This should be like a walk in the park for you guys.
I think it's like 90% of the Bangalore. We are best when we are sitting behind a computer.
Yeah. I know what you mean. You know, a lot of startups out there are founded in cafes and whatnot in Bangalore that you probably hear of. Let's focus on what you guys do for a second. You guys provide international payments and compliance solutions to Indian businesses. And now you've got a first of a kind solution, which is called Table by Salt. Salt actually simplifies the valuation report, helps with the creation of the capital account, and you guys also get ROC and RBI compliances in place as well. Before I move to anything, let me ask you to identify for us what the actual problem is at hand with regards to getting startups on autopilot and where this identification of the problem began for you guys.
Yes, I think problem has been present for a very long time. Like in my previous startup as well, we raised a couple of rounds. Same problem occurred every time. We see a lot of fellow founders raise capital from abroad and from Indian angels or funds, etc. And this problem has existed for a long time. Whenever you're fundraising, you are coordinating with your lawyers, you're coordinating with CACS, you're coordinating with bankers. If you have an investment banker on working with you, you're coordinating with them. Huh. And you're doing that on both the side of it. You're coordinating with the same people on the investor side as well. And that's your job for probably 2 months while you're raising. Instead of focusing on your business, you're focusing on these things which are not your primary business. You literally become experts in banking and compliances before you become expert in your own business. Instead of focusing on that, we want to really automate this whole stuff so that you don't need to learn everything. You don't need to bang your head with your bankers, understand the whole FDI process, understand the compliances around it, understand how to manage all of that, coordinate between them. You don't need to do that because that's not your core. That's what the major problem is. It literally takes away a lot of time. It is a long process and it takes a lot of time.
We've been seeing this off late, and I'd love it if you can clarify, because you guys have experience in this field. I've been looking at a bunch of different articles talking about how overall funding is no less this year, but firms are still firing employees. About, I think, USD 12 billion was invested in growth and early stage companies in January to April 2022 against 11.2 billion during the corresponding period last year. Why is it that startup layoffs are happening so much?
Let's be honest. After COVID, everyone has started being on their feet all the time. Like, you never know when the next, I don't know, virus will come in, next economy will go down. And with so many, I'll say, tech coming up, you know, technological advancement, when I'm talking about Web3, NFT, crypto, everything coming in, right?
Right.
Nobody knows what is the real form of commodity anymore. What is going to be worth more? Is it going to be an LV shoe or is it going to be a small painting that someone made of frog online? So when the economy is so confusing and not everyone expert at this point, it's really hard to define what will go right or wrong. So I think just startup founders are, or at matter big institutions, are trying to look out for themselves. Like in a very practical situation, I'd rather have 100 employees and I make sure 100 of those are safe than have 1,000 of them and be at a place where I'm like, listen, I don't think I'll be able to help you in any possible way in the future. I think that's where they're just looking out for themselves. They're trying to increase their revenue. And I'm so happy to see that there's a startup wave which is coming in where people are trying to make revenue, trying to be profitable. They're right. pushing for it. I'm genuinely happy that we have startups who don't have 100 product managers and 3 products. We have people who are building things now and they want to optimize their cycles. I think it's just people becoming more and more practical about the money and realizing it's not just investors' money anymore. It's their money as well. It's team's money. So I think the wave is happening because of it. I would also like to add a point. Surprisingly, sure. Ankit and I were discussing this yesterday as well, that how we thought that COVID is going to last for 5 years. It's going to change everything. Thing. But the cycle of improvement and our dynamic society is going great as well.
Yeah.
So while on the one hand, of course, startup funding winter is going to come where the funding will be less. I also have a feeling, hopefully, the cycle will close soon and we will be back to normal again, just the way we were within COVID. Like initially, we all thought that startups will not get funded during COVID, but you just told us me last year's start. So I think hopefully there is a ray of hope in the future.
Also from a perspective of, you know, just looking at startups, the way funding has kind of changed over the years, I think the differences are pretty in your face. So for people who are not familiar with the space, Ankit, would you like to take us through how, let's say, 5 years ago, funding, valuations and all were very different from how they are done today? Would you like to take us through that trajectory of growth for the Indian startup economy?
Yes, definitely. I think major factor into, you know, why funding has increased and why a lot of startups have come up as well, I think it's the ecosystem that has grown a lot. There were very few startups that were coming up. I mean, there was a specific category of entrepreneurs that were there. Now the whole ecosystem is opening up. You know, you would see only engineers doing startups earlier. Now there are doctors who are doing it, you know, lawyers who are doing it, CAs who are doing it. Everyone is doing startups because they know they have to solve a problem. And that has been a major wave. I think we have been lucky that that has been backed by good funds that are coming to India. There are a lot of funds that have entered India in past 5 years and now are entering as well. And you will see a lot of these folks coming in. Another wave that we have seen is that whole globalization has happened, which means that a lot of foreign funds are now comfortable investing directly in India, which was not right. possible earlier because of certain clarities that were not there. Also, they have been very comfortable because India is growing at pretty great rate. I mean, if you look at Japanese investors and economy where there are negative interest rates, I think because you will see a lot of infrastructure investments by those kind of firms, right? So that's a global trend that is there. And second is Indian startups selling outside. That is another trend that you would see. I think both of these side, money coming into India or money going out of India or services coming into India and services going out from India has been a major driver into this. You'll see a lot of companies who are selling outside India.
I think we have moved from a place where we are called build in India for India to build in India but for global.
Right.
So I think there is a wave, like there has been such a boom in the startup ecosystem and the representation of India at international level. We were in Y Combinator, which is one of the most prestigious accelerator programs in the world. And I was super proud to see that people were using Indian names of startups as we are this for Africa, we are this for Vietnam. We're Indian startups. And that's how you know you're growing like crazy.
That's amazing. Must make you very proud, right? To be part of that space. It's wonderful. Yeah.
You forget there is a competition. Like, you don't look at them as a competitor. You look at yourself as an Indian and you're like, damn, I'm so proud of my country right now.
Awesome. I was going through a couple of other numbers as well. And I think as of April 15th, there was a certain publication, I think it was Business Standard, that was talking about how FDI is likely to touch about $100 billion in 2022-2023. That's the numbers that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, backed by a lot of economic reforms and ease of doing business that has happened in recent years. Now, what you guys are doing literally at the core is easing business for a lot of startups out there. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah. From that perspective, I think that you guys can go half of the way, but I think definitely the other half is also looking at the government regulations and frameworks that are in place to incorporate these companies and, you know, take the next step after they do XYZ and use you guys. The complicated part, let's just say. In your experience over the last couple of years, do you feel that it has genuinely become easier, or while becoming easier, other parts have become harder? I'd love your thoughts.
Definitely things have become easier, but I mean, we are in Bangalore. We are part of so much technology that we are building ourselves. We always feel that is not enough.
But I feel like that's kind of a good thing. Don't you agree? Because like then only we can keep improving.
Definitely. I think reforms are always there, but the approaches are very different on how we as Indians deal with things and how other countries might deal with it. And there is a long way to go before we probably come in top 10 or top 5 in ease of doing business kind of categories.
Sure.
But I think, yes, a lot of reforms have already taken and rest of the things are being bridged by startups. I think that's a good thing for us as startups because we can do a lot of business here. But to be honest, we would love to not do those things because those are more ground level and infrastructure level things. I think if they are already in place, we can build more better things.
Fair enough.
If things are improving, I think probably in next decade, we should be able to get to a really good place and then keep on accelerating.
I think it's the intentions that matter ultimately. I think we can explain it. The reason behind building Salt was very simple. I don't like lying about these things as well. When we started incorporating our company during COVID, it was really difficult,
right?
Super difficult. But the thing is, Ankit was previously founder of a huge company as well before he left that to build Salt. So he had connects, you know, he immediately knew whom to call, who is the CA, who is the lawyer, everyone that he needs to reach out to. Everything was very well sorted. But we saw the list of number of new founders who are coming in, and we realized that while things may be sorted for us, it's not sorted for other people.
Fair enough.
So internally we build an automated tool for our own selves where all the documents were listed, the banks you can reach out to and everything. But we realize that it will be super unfair if we make a product and keep it to ourselves. It kills the whole point of being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
So we got the banking tie-ups in place. We got everything in place. Next thing you know, we had a product which was being used by a lot of people, and it overwhelms us every single time when we get this one simple message that I never thought it would be this easy. And it's so important for us to build this as well, because one wrong paperwork and you might end up, I don't want to threaten anyone or make anyone feel scared, but one wrong paperwork and you may end up in jail. Probably someone confuse you for doing a tax fraud, and we didn't want anyone to be in that kind of situation. We don't want anyone to feel lost when they're building something. And most importantly, I think after a point, especially when you're done raising funding, the most difficult part of founder's life is over. They deserve to relax a little bit while everything is being taken care of for them.
Right.
And we are just happy that it worked out well for us.
You know, you mentioned something very, very nicely just now. And I like, probably if collectively the both of you can recall a certain incident while building Salt that really stays with you and makes you feel like, oh my God, doing this was so worthwhile. You did mention about getting those one-line messages once in a while from people, and that makes it all the worthwhile. But anything else that comes to your mind that you'd like to share with everyone?
I think every single time someone messages us and says, thank you so much, I never knew cross-border payments was this easy. So our target market is small businesses right now. When I'm saying small businesses, these people are running their businesses on Instagram pages.
Okay.
They are running their businesses on WhatsApp and on Facebook groups, and they were just super happy that there was ease in money. And not only that, we have amazing set of lawyers and CAs available at your disposal. And my CA just called them up and they said, hey, by the way, you need this in order to get your tax refund, in case you didn't know that. And they were like, why are you calling me and telling me? And they're like, because you deserve to know this information. The vigilance needs to be everywhere. And they were like, I could feel it from their voice when they were on call with us. And they were like, thank you so much. I never expected a startup to do that. I think that was the moment we realized we were building something good. We keep getting a lot of both positive and negative messages. Every once in a while, let's be honest, transactions do get stuck because the paperwork was not submitted right. Indian ecosystem is very complicated, financial one for businesses. And sometimes things go wrong. And we do also get our own fair share of backlash. But I think having the right attitude is very important. Like, we have apologized so many times to our customers, and sometimes they get mad and they're like, I don't care. I want to talk to the senior manager of the company. And I'm like, sir, I'm the founder. It doesn't get more senior than that. All I can do is not get my investor on call. But I'm really sorry. And then they take a pause and they're like, you're founder and you're taking customer calls? And
yeah.
I was like, yeah, because I want to personally apologize to you. Send me your address. I'll personally send you flowers. I want to make amends. I do not want you to stop using the product. And they take a pause. And it has happened twice or thrice. They're like, if if a founder is apologizing, that's more than enough for us. We don't need anything else. Like, I'm happy that you're holding yourself accountable.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm happy that you guys are like holding yourselves accountable, which is great, because I think if most startups out there did that, process would be so much easier. And I think it's a nice thing to see, honestly. My last kind of question for you guys, as I say bye-bye to you both, we always love to ask this question from a industry standpoint, but I'm sure you guys are able to kind of look at the next 5 years and say, typically we would see the industry going there. So in terms of what you guys do at Salt, where do you guys see the next 5 years kind of evolving to? Maybe you could talk about one prediction of a future trend that you feel might come about.
What we've seen in the industry right now is those 100 million or 50 million users using the whole internet for making their lives easier. In past decade, that's what has been focus of the whole industry been. I think now the next billion is what startups have started focusing on.
Right.
The people who do not regularly go about and use things. Probably, you know, our parents who would not use UPI would be now using UPI. Huh. Or our parents who would not be comfortable ordering food online would be the next target. Like, that is most, I think, what I see. I think more traditional businesses getting online and using tools that would make them scale up. I think those kind of trends that I foresee. I think that next billion and the next layer of the pyramid is what the next target would be for a startup. And that's what my trend, like what I have been seeing now.
I think a lot of time people just try solving a problem which exists only in Kormangla, Indiranagar, South Delhi, and Bombay. Specific parts of Bombay. I'm happy that we are moving out of that ecosystem and we're trying to also solve problem for, I'll say, Rajaji Nagar, J Nagar, JP Nagar. We're trying to solve problem for India. I think the focus, and I think a lot of people say that if it's a Kormangla, Indiranagar problem, please keep it to yourself. But we have solved those problems. We have made our lives easy. And I hope the next set of things which are coming up will be far bigger than that. And people's focus is changing. I'm so happy there are so many startups coming up with the focus on tier 2 and tier 3 towns. And I think that will be the next big wave. So surprising. I keep telling people this thing. At one point, both my brother and I were living in Bangalore. Very beautiful house, very peaceful life. And my parents visited us. This was their 7th visit. And I was like, do you want to stay in Bangalore? Do you want to move to Bangalore? They kept saying no. Do you know what made them say yes?
What?
My father used Dunzo once and he was like, oh my God, everything comes in 1 minute. And I don't need to nag to you. We are moving here. This is the best place. And that's what I'm saying, that, you know, it's the startups which are going to be making these people move here. And if that will not happen, then these startups will move there and solve the problems for these people. So I think ecosystem is going in a direction where we are looking at whole India.
That's a very nice story. And believe it or not, on this very segment, which we do Tech for Change, Kabir, who was the founder of Dunzo, was actually, you know, talking about it. He was telling me a lot of cool stories. So it's nice to hear another story like this. Guys, you've made this super easy for us to understand. And more than anything else, thank you for uncomplicating a space that nobody even knew was that complicated. Ankit, Udita, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you both for being on Tech for Change. And here's hoping that you guys can go on to change many more startups in the near and distant future.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to this little episode of Tech for Change. You can find me, your host, Kay, on Instagram. I'm probably the most active there, @OffAirWithKay. That is Off Air with K-A-Y. I'm going to be back next week for another episode of Tech for Change. And if you'd like to give us feedback, well, you as a listener can reach out to us on @HTSmartcast on multiple platforms. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. Now, to listen to more podcasts, make sure you log on to www.htsmartcast.com. I'll see you soon. Take care.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.